I'm not sure people thought that it was actually going to happen. It was a hope and it was a dream, and we had faith that maybe it would, but the 33 families that walked in the door with us that first day really just believed.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
In this episode, we have Deb Waters, head of school at Our Lady of the Cross in Lebanon County. Born and raised right here in Lebanon, Deb is the fourth of six children, all proud graduates of Lebanon Catholic High School. After teaching and later serving as principal, Deb faced one of the hardest moments imaginable, leading through the 2020 closure of her beloved school during the pandemic. But from heartbreak came hope. With a dedicated community behind her, Deb launched a brand new independent school in less than 18 months, Our Lady of the Cross. Since opening, the school has tripled enrollment, continued a 160-year legacy of Catholic education, and now looks ahead to building a new facility for future generations. Deb, thank you for joining me to share the incredible story of resilience, legacy, growth, and hope.
When you tell a story like that, it's pretty amazing. I like it.
I'll tell you what, it is pretty amazing what you're doing and how quickly you're doing it. You know, how quickly things are falling into place, you know?
I think that God put some pretty amazing people together when the school closed that were able to open it back up. It is an amazing team and an amazing community. You know, you said that I started it, and there's no way I could have launched it without the team and the people and the families that we had behind us who refused to not have it open.
Yeah, well, it takes a village, right? It takes a team. And one of those team members we want to shout out is John Shuey. Shout out to Shuey, and he got us connected.
He did. John's one of my board members, and his wife Irma, and his son Jadison is one of our seniors. So he's graduating this year, and John and Irma have been in it from the beginning. So good people.
Yeah, great family for sure. So now, when I think back on Lebanon Catholic, you know, we talked a little bit off air. I think of like two things come to mind, and I think for a lot of local people that know of LC and the rich history, right, the traditions, it's girls basketball. Right, Patty Hauer. Everybody thinks of girls basketball and Patty Hauer. And then for me personally, it's my mom's side of the family, which we were talking about. Yeah. So my mom's a Haynes, Ted and Shirley grandparents on my mom's side. And my mom is one of 14, so seven brothers, seven sisters, all of which went through Lebanon Catholic.
They did. I was privileged enough to be there. Pam would have been in school when I was in school.
Okay.
And Pam was a bright light and one of the cheerleaders and certainly somebody that our classes looked up to. The Haynes family was a legend at Lebanon Catholic. I can still see Mr. Haynes whipping that jacket around and supporting us at basketball. And the Haynes family is actually still great supporters of us up at Our Lady of the Cross. And we give your family our sympathies and our prayers.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, great supporters.
Yeah, and that's phenomenal because I recall as well, you know, my grandpa sitting right in the first row of the bleachers, giving the refs a little grief, you know, and
maybe a little,
maybe a little bit too much, but always fighting for, you know, Lebanon Catholic and the athletes, you know, always supporting them. Speaking of that, you know, I want to talk about Patty Hauer because I mean, you can't have Lebanon Catholic or maybe even Our Lady of the Cross without Patty Hauer.
We brought over a lot of staff. So the staff that started at Our Lady of the Cross were all at Lebanon Catholic. They all came over. They waited that year and then were with us when we opened. Mrs. Hauer has been with us. She's still teaching phys ed all grades. So from kindergarten to seniors, she's got the phys ed classes. And yes, we were able to start PIAA basketball 2 years ago. So we're going into our third year. Pretty amazing things that they've done with the teams. The girls went to districts their first 2 years.
Wow.
One of our seniors that graduated last year is playing ball at LVC, so you can go see her at Lebanon Valley College this season. Also started basketball at the CYO level.
We
start at third grade. Start them young. Yes, get them playing so that they're on the court and that we're hitting districts when they're in high school.
And now is Patty's daughter, and I believe was Mike Mole, are they still...
Mike is still helping Patty coach.
Okay.
Becky, her daughter, is helping to coach, and her kids are there. So,
wow,
yeah, full Patty and Mike there. And Becky are coaching Patty's grandkids. Yeah,
that's amazing. So let's get your background, your story. How did you first get involved with Lebanon Catholic, and what makes you so passionate about Our Lady of the Cross?
How did I get involved? Well, my mom and dad, Dad was one of 11. My mom was one of 7, and they were all Lebanon Catholic grads.
Okay, another big family.
Yeah, another big family. Well, it was big until we met the Haineses, and then it was not anymore.
You got outdone a little bit, yeah.
They were all graduates. Mom and Dad put us all six of us, through Catholic school for 12 years. So that's where I grew up. That's what made me. When I got out of college, I came back and was invited to come back and teach. And so I did. And it's just, I mean, bleed blue and white. It's in our veins. My dad actually grew up on the property, which is really kind of cool. My grandfather took care of the property up on Chestnut Street. He took care of Assumption Hill for a little while. So when we say it's family, my daughters, when they started there, were fourth generation at Lebanon Catholic. So, and there's lots of families, it's, you know, whether it's the Haineses or the Nashes, or there's tons of families that have that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful location, beautiful property.
It is gorgeous property.
The hill looking over Lebanon. So what did that environment mean to you and your family, like growing up for you?
I will tell you that my dad sometimes worked two jobs to support a family of 8. And what they would say to us growing up was, they'll pay the mortgage and they'll pay the tuition. Those are the first two bills that got paid. And I think what that did was instill in us the importance of Catholic education and how that formed us and how that nurtured us through our lives. I mean, we were at home, we were at school, we were at church. I mean, that's how we grew up. Our friends were Lebanon Catholic people. Yeah.
And that tends to then, you know, grow a very tight-knit community.
Absolutely.
Tight-knit group of people. And I imagine with Lebanon Catholic having such a tight-knit community, you know, once COVID hit and the closure, that community got even closer. And that might be partially why Our Lady of the Cross has seen so much success, is because you have such a strong group of people supporting it. And what you're doing, your group.
Yeah. When the school closed and we had to go online, I think that was probably an opportunity. the whole world was getting further apart, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, good point.
6 feet and isolation and things like that. And I think what it did for us was bring us together. we were together every morning. We did morning prayer and the Pledge of the Flag and our morning announcements together. And what started to happen, especially after the announcement that we were closing, we started getting families and friends from out of state, relatives that were listening in on those morning announcements just to see how the school was doing. I think for us, it somehow brought us closer as a community, that you didn't need to be in proximity to one another to realize the values that we held the same, that education, that faith, they were able to bring one another together. And I think the closure was something to literally rally around as a community. So we have stayed connected to the alumni base of Lebanon Catholic. In fact, that's actually one of the things that we'd like to continue to work on, is reconnecting with that alumni base and the families. Yeah.
Now, would you say going from being a student at Lebanon Catholic, and then you come back as a teacher, and then you become the principal or head of school, has that all led up and then helped you during the closure and during the pandemic?
It's really cool to be a part of that community in those different roles. So you see it as a student, you see it as something that's important to a family, that it be there. As an educator, as a teacher, to be on that side of it and know the sacrifices and the work and the effort for very little pay that the teachers put into it, that's one thing. As principal, to see the business side of it and the community connections that are made, that absolutely, those pieces of Lebanon Catholic made me who I was, so that when it was time to start Our Lady of the Cross, I think that I was able to see it from all those sides. What is it that the students need? What is it that the families need? What is it that the staff and the teachers need to be there? And what's going to motivate them? Believe me, they don't need to be motivated. They love the mission. And then the important part is, as a business, how are we surviving? How are we making this a sustainable entity moving into the future so that we don't have to worry about closing again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take a sip break. This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. So to pick back up, I know, to think back on 2020, like you said, COVID, everyone's getting further apart. And then when I saw, I think it was on Facebook when I first saw it, and then of course my mom, I think, called, and about Lebanon Catholic closing, you know, that closure, that shocked, I think, a lot of people here, you know, throughout the community. And it was kind of like, really, you know, like that's, you know, like, really? Now, what was your emotions and your thoughts? Because you have so much family and history.
It was devastating. And that is probably an understatement. I think it shook people's faith, because the school is so connected, obviously has to be to people's faith. It was a pillar of the community. There were 160 years of legacy and connection to the parishes, connection to those old parish schools, you know, whether it be St. Gertrude's or St. Cyril and Methodius or St. Mary's or Our Lady of the Valley. It was all those connections to all of those people, and all of a sudden it was just this vicious, sudden break. And
out of
I think
the blue, it seemed like, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but
I mean, our hearts were breaking. You saw it in the kids. I mean, here the kids were separated from one another. The teachers were separated from one another, and you're going through probably the most difficult grieving process, and you don't have people. I mean, devastating.
Yeah, shocking. Yeah. So it's one thing to lose something meaningful.
Yeah.
It's another to turn that loss into new life. And that's really, I think, where your story has taken off, you know, and you've really, I think, if I may, you know, just kind of blossomed and are growing a thriving, you know, not just surviving, but a thriving school. And that's, in my opinion, kind of unheard of, you know, to do what you all are doing. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm serious. I think it's very amazing. I've talked with Shuey, you know, when I meet up with him, we do some work, some business with them. And, you know, he's always telling me the amazing things you all are doing and the events. You know, my father and I have been to some of your events. I think it was the Derby, like a horse
night at the races.
Night at the races. Thank you. Night at the races.
Which will happen January 24th, by the way, Austin.
Perfect. January 24th. Okay. I like a plug. Yes, definitely. Shout that out. We will be there again. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun, actually. We really.
Well, that's one of those traditional things that happened up at Assumption Hill, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Bring the alums and the community in for a night of fun.
Yeah. It was great.
We're still doing that. Yeah.
Perfect. So, you know, you and your board members, your team, you helped rally a devastated community to create a brand new school, like we mentioned, in just 18 months. Walk us through, how does that even happen?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the first things that happened, you know, I think we were all brokenhearted, and literally one of the first things that happened was the community rallied. And when I say that, I mean, they converged on Assumption Hill property and put together a rally. I mean, they came in their vehicles and they had painted windows and honking horns and kids hanging out sunroofs, just saying, save our school. And I think as the leader of that community coming in, I don't think I realized, I mean, I knew how much I loved it, but to see the community, and it was, I mean, it was alums, it was grandparents, it was current families, just there to rally and say, how can we save this? This has to continue and go on. And so I think we had a small group of people who said, let's make this happen. And we had people who were, who believed in us. There was an awful lot of prayer during those early months. And just the support of the community saying, do it and we will come. Somebody has to act. And we had a founding board that was really pretty incredible that went from scenario to scenario to scenario, to get something started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from early beginnings, you know, getting the board together, getting everyone on the same page, right? Which obviously from what you said was not a tough task to do. You had the support, but then to then like triple your enrollment and grow. Tell us first, where is the school located for the locals and the listeners? And then kind of set the stage of what the school looks like right now. What is it? What's going on? And then how do you triple? You tripled enrollment. That's amazing.
So when we closed, we had attempted to reopen on the hill, and we had attempted to purchase the property, and what those things there? It didn't work out.
Okay.
Beautiful
property, by the way, which I know we said earlier.
It is. But when we were looking to reopen, we were looking around the county for a property that would work. And there were places that would work as a school, as a classroom buildings and things like that. But this property out on Grace Avenue, which we think is an appropriate name, was about 7 acres. It had a gym. It had rooms that could be used as classrooms and rooms that could be used as offices. It wasn't too big. It was available for lease. We had some donors that came in and said, don't lease it, buy it, which was probably just an additional miracle that was happening along the way. We literally bought it that summer of 2021. We closed on the sale on August 31st, which was the day that the public schools were opening for the school year.
Okay.
Hurricane Ida hit on September 1st. So I drove out to the property and watched the water just fill the swales and wondered how it was going to take it.
Yeah.
And then the community converged on September 2nd and brought it up to code, cleaned it, repaired it, painted it. And we opened our doors on September 13th with 33 kids. And I think it was one of those things, Sully, that I'm not sure people thought that it was actually going to happen. It was a hope and it was a dream and we had faith that maybe it would, but the 33 families that walked in the door with us that first day really just believed. I think for some of us, opening the doors that day was a miracle in and of itself.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I think we needed to get open. I think we needed to show people that it was actually happening, because these are the lives of their kids, right? You don't get to do third grade twice. Well, maybe you do. Right. I don't know. But you don't get to do those formative years twice. You have one shot at this. And so as parents, to have gone through a closure and then take a risk with the lives of their kids to put them in a school
again,
it is a big risk. And so I think people needed to see us get open. Mm-hmm. And we did. And then they started coming, and it's been, we've grown since then. Now we can only grow to the capacity of what our building is.
Good point, right?
So, and the building was pretty small. So we've already had to add modular classrooms. We put 4 modular classrooms on in 23. And then this past summer, we put 4 more modular classrooms on the parking lot.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So when you started 33 students, where are you at now roughly?
107. We're going to start 108 this week.
Wow. That's amazing. So obviously you're outgrowing the current space. I mean, you had to add the modular units outside. That's very impressive.
It is. Yeah. It is. I think it's a need and a want for the people of Lebanon County to have education in the Catholic tradition here. I think it's a great alternative. It's a small environment. It is a small student-teacher ratio.
Which is great. I think it's great.
Kids don't get lost. Right. It's a family. You walk in and it feels like home, even to the alumni walking in. It is a different building. It looks completely different. But when you walk in, you feel the atmosphere that was Lebanon Catholic.
Feels
and,
right.
Yeah. And that's something new. I think we were able to maybe in the reopening, maybe purge some of the stuff that wasn't good and keep all the stuff that was. Yeah.
Yeah. At Our Lady, I don't want to
cut
off.
No, okay.
Yeah. At Our Lady of the Cross, what is your role? What you're the head of school?
Sully, I'm head of school. I'm maintenance. I'm
head of school. A little bit of everything, huh?
So we are not heavy on the administration side. Okay. When we hired, we wanted to make sure that we had teachers in the classrooms. So technically, I'm the administrator, and we've got administrative assistant, and she actually is phenomenal. Does a lot of our business and advancement behind the scenes. We have someone who helps the teachers and is a receptionist and does all the tasks of the day, and then everybody else really is teaching faculty.
Okay.
And so, what's my role? My role is a little bit principal. It's a little bit disciplinarian. It's a little bit, I get to teach. I have an 8th grade class that I love teaching. And then it's the business side. It is getting our name out in the community. It is getting community support. It's connecting with alumni. Mm-hmm. So lots of different hats. You know, if a toilet clogs or there's a spill on the floor, I'll take care of that too.
Yeah.
But
roll your sleeves up and not afraid to get dirty.
I'll do the book for basketball games and work the door and serve lunch and all of those things. But that is everybody in the building. That's not just me. That is the teachers in the building. All wear several hats and just take on those tasks to make sure that we are giving the kids that full educational experience that they deserve.
Well, let me ask you this, and as being the leader, you know, and leading with your team from the front, it sounds like you're very much hands-on, very much part of it. How do you get the buy-in of all your staff? Because sometimes that can be tricky. You know, sometimes people might not believe or in the mission and what you're trying to do, but it sounds like you have everybody on board.
That's not me. That is the spirit. That is them believing in the mission of education in the Catholic tradition. That's them believing in their role as teachers and educators. And really, once you come into the family, you are part of the family. And I think you see the good that is done, and it's people want to be part of that.
Yeah, and you.
I don't need to convince them to buy in.
Which is huge, you know, because I'm thinking work, sports teams. There's always, an outlier of somebody that might not be totally sold on the idea or the movement.
Yeah. But, no, listen. Yeah. When I was in my lowest moments during the closure and trying to reopen, if I hit a low point, there was one of them. Kathy Hatzfeld in particular, who, yes, happens to be my sister, is one of the teachers and the athletic director. And when I thought it couldn't be done, one of them would step up and be like, no, you can do this. And you can do this for all of us. And you've got this. So their buy-in, they waited. There were several of them that waited that year that we were closed didn't take jobs so that they could come back and work here is that important. Wow. And yeah. It's not like they're getting, it's not like I'm paying them tremendous public school district salaries. I'm not.
It's a love, right?
It is a love for what they do. It's a love for kids. It's a love for the families.
So Kathy Hatzfeld?
Yeah.
Right? She's the athletic director you just mentioned, right?
She is the athletic director.
So her daughter
and the soccer coach and the fifth grade teacher and junior high math.
Yes, everybody wears multiple hats. I love it. I love this.
I told you.
No, yeah. So she's a daughter, Riley, if I'm not mistaken.
She does have a daughter, Riley. Yeah.
So again, small world, crazy. Prior to COVID at Lebanon Catholic, my wife, Courtney Sullivan, was an assistant coach on the, I'm sorry, I'm going to get it wrong, but the your youth, what is it?
CYO.
CYO. Thank you. Yes. She was an assistant coach at that time with, oh my goodness, another younger lady. Oh my gosh. No, not Chewy. I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, my wife will be like, this is the person's name, you silly. But anyway, no. So Riley, like, we got to see her play basketball is what I was getting at, because I would go and, you know, obviously my wife and I, we'd drive together, you know, and I'd sit in the stands and cheer and watch and stuff. But she was quite the athlete, Riley. I mean, I don't know where she's at now in life, but.
Well, Riley came back and played with us at Our Lady of the Cross and was one of the, you didn't know this.
No, I actually don't know.
Riley is one of the, ball player, one of the, player. One of the sparks that got us started with this, with our sports program, because she played soccer and basketball.
Yeah.
So Riley is actually the one that's playing at Lebanon Valley College.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding?
Oh, Rye, I didn't know this. Oh, this is
okay. Proud aunt moment. Rye scored over 1600 points in 2 seasons.
Wow. Riley, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. She's a pretty cool kid.
And a great person.
Don't tell her I said that.
Okay.
I'm sending her the podcast. Yeah.
Is she listening? Okay. Yeah. Please listen, Riley. We appreciate the listen. But yeah, no, it's small world. I mean, that was.
No, you can still see your plate. There's a plug for Lebanon Valley women's basketball.
Go Dutchman. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. And like I said, that was probably 2016, 2017, somewhere in there maybe. But yeah. Wow.
Well, but that's the thing, right? Like CYO basketball and those youth sports are those extracurriculars that bring the community in and give the kids something. I mean, who would have thought when they're on the court at, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old and like the basketball is bigger than them. Right.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Riley was born with a basketball in her hand.
Oh,
but,
for sure.
You know, for some of those kids, like this is. That is a love that they have. And so what are they going to do? Are they going to grow up and go into coaching? Are they going to go into sports management? You know, are they going to make sure that their kids have those good, solid teams that have good, solid coaches that are teaching them character development and love for the sport and teamwork while they're teaching them the sport? So it's so important to have those extracurriculars for us because they make people who they are.
And that's it. That's it. It's all about, you know, the coaches, the teachers, the staff, you know, they pour in, you know, to the students. And, you know, it is so important to have those role models, right? And those people that you can look up to, especially at a young age, you know, and I think it's phenomenal.
Well, and when you can connect faith to those things.
Yes.
So, you know, anybody can go out and play basketball, but can you play basketball when they're starting with prayer and when the kids are respectful to the opposing coaches and the opposing players and to the refs, and when they learn how to be teammates and how failures make you better, and how you can learn and grow from those, and how to take success and succeed humbly, right? And continue to grow and not think that you know everything. And I just think sports. Getting our sports program started was so important to us to be able to give that aspect to our kids and to our families.
Oh, for sure. It instills a lot in the youth, you know, and it's very important, I think, in a child's life. Let's take a quick snack break. This snack break is brought to you by Jergy Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jergy Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jergy Beef Jerky. Eat, meat, repeat. So to pick back up, you know, I know we talked heavily on sports, staff. I want to kind of focus on the students, right? Is there some examples that you could give of hope, perseverance that you've witnessed among the students or the families since the school's founding?
I love the ownership that the families and the kids have taken in building the school. It is their school. Some of those kids that came in and pulled weeds, or literally we let them paint classrooms. Now we might have gone over and cleaned the edges a little bit, but yeah. they were there. And so maybe you get that new kid in who, I don't know, drags a pencil down the hallway, right? Our kids are like, we don't do that. Like, this is our house. Yeah. This is our home. Yeah. And so there's just a cool ownership, I think, that the kids take of it. Examples of hope. Sorry.
Oh, you're good.
I was walking through the gym this week, and I had a kindergartner, like, you know, they're like 5 and 6, right? And they jump up and down, and they've got all kinds of energy. And I know that's funny for me to say that other people have energy. But
that's the coffee.
She stopped me. She says, Mrs. Waters, she said, I said a prayer for you today.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a hard day. I'm not going to be honest.
I'm sorry.
Oh, she's a little kindergartner. She's one of our new ones. And it literally made me stop in my tracks. I think I was running through the gym, like going from one task to another. And I was like, wow, we're doing something right. If we mm-hmm. are 5 or 6 weeks into the school year and I've got a kindergartner that says, I said a prayer for you today.
Yeah.
I have another story. A mom came in a few weeks ago, and again, another new family. And she said, they can't eat their meals or go to bed at night without her kid saying, we have to say our prayers.
That's awesome.
She
yeah.
said, he's bringing it home to the house. And I'm like,
that's what you want. It's working. Yes, what you're striving for.
I mean,
yeah.
Not that of course we're focused on our academics. Our academics are very strong and they're rigorous. And, you know, we can talk about that. But if we're affecting the faith lives of our kids and they're taking that home, that is the point. Our mission mm-hmm. is to help make disciples of Christ and for them to take that out as witnesses into the world. You know, anybody can educate academically. I can teach math. But if we can affect how these kids are going to live, then I think we're doing something right. So those are just my two examples this week that I love. I mean, I could go on and on. Our soccer team the other week had a really good chance of beating a team that had come to our house and beat us on our field.
Okay.
And they were down when we got there. So instead of playing 10v11, we sat a man, and so we went 10v10.
Yeah.
We were playing, we were doing well, and one of their players got hurt, and all of a sudden I see the coaches and they're pulling another player off the field. So we went 9v9 because they could only go 9v9. Now we won, but it was mm-hmm. tight. And they go through the high five line, and then all of a sudden you see the players and they're beelining to the other bench to high five the kid that had come off the field.
Yeah.
Those instances are the ones that just say something is being integrated into the lives of the kids. And I love that.
And it's sportsmanship that they'll carry that with them.
Yeah.
Probably the rest of their life. They'll think about that, you know, because you don't hear like a lot of schools or teams doing that. You know what I mean? To consider, okay, this player's hurt or they're short a member. So we're going to go one down, you know, we're going to match them instead of having the two up or the extra player up on them, you know?
Right. Cause
it's unheard of, you know?
And I love that. I love that for our kids. I'm sorry. I know I went to sports again, but are those moments of hope, I think, where you see it happening.
Yeah, and well, to go back to what you were saying about the young student, you know, at maybe some schools or wherever, they might draw on the walls or put a pencil on the walls or whatever silly thing, you know, little kids may do. You know, we were all young once and maybe foolish, but the fact that...
Sully, that sounds like maybe you drug a pencil down the
hallway.
Yeah,
I probably did. Maybe some crayons or markers, I'm sure. Ask my mom, you know. But, you know, the fact that you're... students, it sounds like they're so invested, right? Like you said, it's their home. It's not just, oh, we got to go to school today, and oh, here we go, you know, let's get through it. They really care, and they take pride. And not saying that other schools and districts and things, you know, the students don't take pride. Obviously, they do with student sections and such like that. But it seems like this is another level where it's like, this is our home. We helped build it. We painted the walls in some cases, some of these students, you know, and I think that just is amazing.
Well, and I think that's the environment created by the teachers too. I think sometimes when we get kids that are coming in from public school, they're not used to that. We're small that the kindergarten teacher is going to know the seniors and the high school teacher is going to know and walk the kindergartners to their cars and car line in the afternoon, right? So everybody knows everybody, but then there's a love and a compassion and there's a care for each of the students and for their lives and what they're bringing. They're not just a name on a paper. Mm. They're not just a kid in a desk. They are what's going on in their life. Why are they having a hard day today? Why are they not connecting? Why are they connecting? What are they celebrating? You know, what's happening outside in their lives that we can celebrate with them? So I just think that there's a real sense of community in the hallways and in the classroom that the teachers care about the kids' progress, both academically and just in life.
And I think that's huge to tie into an example I have with my local high school track coach, Rob Bear over at Cedar Crest, phenomenal coach. And he cared and he knew the students, like you're saying, and the athletes, so much so that, you know, he knew, okay, you have this big test, Sully, how'd you do? Or, you know, hey, you're throwing the shot put today, good luck. And it was more than just like the sport itself. He cared and knew, you know, or if somebody played basketball, he knew like the stats of that. And I think when you have somebody that, like you said, pours into you and really cares about you, other than just, okay, he's our best thrower, or she's our best, you know, whatever it is, javelin thrower. I'm a thrower, so that's why I keep referencing that. Sprinter or hurdler, you know, all these things. But when you have somebody that really cares, then as a student or athlete, then you tend to care more yourself, I feel like, and you tend to want to be more involved. Now, obviously, you hinted on smaller classroom sizes to go back to, like, academics. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important nowadays, because it seems like nowadays it's one teacher to, you know, 30, maybe even 50. I don't know how big some of these high school classrooms get, but, you know, you lose
probably
that.
Probably not what I'm 50. Probably, I mean,
over-exaggerate a little bit.
Yeah, you're talking probably 25 and 30. But okay. For us, it's, I mean, we have some that are 1-6 ratio. Yeah. Some that are bigger than that, depends on what grade level it is. But the teachers do an amazing job. Some of the classes are mixed, right? Mm-hmm. So might have second and first grade in the same classroom, which all the teachers out there who are listening are going, how on earth does she do that? The teachers are amazing. But when you have that small class size, you get to meet the kids where they are. And so when you've got that, you know, that fourth grader who needs just a little bit more foundation, then they're hearing what the third graders are doing. And those third graders that are advanced get to, you know, they get to be writing and doing math on a different level. And so it's really about those small classes are meeting the kids where they're at and then giving them the tools and the resources they need to progress and to succeed, but really building on the foundations that the kids need. I think one of the things that COVID did for education was it put kids online, it put kids on devices, and I think we lost a lot of things in education. And so our pre-K through fifth graders do not have personal devices.
What?
Now, whoa. They have computer classes.
I like this. Okay.
Yeah, me too. But they are pencil and paper, and we are concentrating on things like foundational math facts. We're concentrating on things like phonemic awareness. So we called it phonics back when, you know, when I was in school. But that we recognize that kids lost the ability to read themselves because so many things were being read to them, or they were hearing the audiobooks, or they're seeing the words scroll across as it's being read, and so they're not having to work to form those words. So phonemic awareness, basic math sense are the things that we're really focusing on at those younger levels, so that kids are, they have a pencil in their hand or a pen, and they actually have to like write sentences and essays and things like that. Even our 6th through 12th graders. So they get Chromebooks, and we have access to some virtual classes that can supplement our in-person learning. So some of their electives and things, but they are not on those devices all day long. They literally carry the big giant textbooks around and notebooks and folders. That's new for some of the public school kids when they transfer in.
Yeah. But
I think our philosophy is to teach the kids how to use technology well, mm-hmm. how to use it responsibly, because they live in a world that they need to be able to do that. But it's also how to educate them and how do they learn and how do they process information. And some of that needs to be, writing notes down from a board in a notebook. And it has to be doing math by hand, not with a calculator all the time, that they're doing those things. So academically, we have a pretty rigorous program.
Yeah. And I fully support that. I think it's a great, you know, that like again, my example of my track coach, Rob Bear, that your teachers are so personal because the class sizes are not huge and not blown out of proportion, you know. But then the fact that they get technology, but it's after they learn, you know, the basics and learn how to do it themselves, right? And somebody was just telling me earlier this year, I forget who it was, a friend maybe, but they were saying, was it their first or second grader? Somebody, I thought it was too young, but they were given a computer for school. And it blew my mind because it was one of those where I was like, what? Like, I didn't get a cell phone until I was, you know, in middle school. And that was because I needed to call mom or dad to pick me up from sports. Like, you're telling me, and I understand technology's here. It's not going anywhere. It's coming more in our lives. But I was like, man, that just seems really young. Maybe it was third grade or second. But I just thought, man, that just seems so young, you know. And you lose that pen to paper, you know. Handwriting, any, I'm sure it affects students is what I'm getting at. So I think you're doing everything
the right way is what I'm getting. Cursive.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my cursive writing's awful.
There you go.
Personally.
Well, I can send you back to second grade.
Okay. There you go. I might need that. Yeah, my wife would say do it. But, you know, through all this, your enrollment numbers are climbing. Plans for new campus are on the horizon. What does growth look like at Our Lady of the Cross over the next few years?
Well, we are hoping to build. Ironically, providentially, the land directly across the street, across Grace Avenue, was available for sale. And I have a board that is forward thinking and is ready to take some calculated risks. And we knew that we were going to outgrow this building, obviously, with the addition of the modulars. This model won't be sustainable going forward. We don't want kids in modulars for the rest of their life. So the land across the street was for sale, and we were in a position financially. So financially, we've done really well with support from our donors and things. We were doing well enough that we could purchase it. And so we did, with the vision that a new facility worthy of the education that happens inside would take place over there. So that's hopefully on the horizon. And that's going to be, if we thought this was a big community lift to get this off the ground and started, that's going to take some extra effort to get going.
There's
a lot of faith and vision and wanting it to happen for this to be a growth model into the future. If we're preparing for future generations, then we need a place to put them.
Yeah. Another challenge that you and your team will face head on.
We just like run at them.
I love it.
Or they're running at us. I don't know. Either way, we're hitting challenges.
It's meant to be, right?
It's good stuff. It really is good stuff. We have lots of signposts along the way that tell us that we're on the right track. And that maybe there's somebody upstairs who wants this to happen. There's a lot of Holy Spirit. There's a lot of prayer that goes into our decision-making, but I also think it's sound decision-making. It's smart. It's how do we leave this for a next generation? Right. And if we're going to do that, then we have to make sure that it is, the business model works and that it's sustainable. And that growth is going to continue. So that it's there for future generations. Yeah.
Yeah. And if I heard correctly, you purchased the property.
Land is purchased.
The land is purchased.
It's ours.
So now obviously we've got to put a school on that property. So how can Lebanon County community, how can the community continue to support the mission and the momentum that you all have? Obviously, you don't want to lose that momentum. What is the best thing that the community can do, and how can they help?
All right. So seriously, the first thing I ask for is prayer. I think prayer has sustained us through all of this. That is our support. And if this is going to happen, it's going to happen with God behind us. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's it. So number one, prayer. Number two, yes, we will take people's support in their checkbooks and their donor advised funds, and I'll take stock transfers. And, no, seriously, it is. When we closed and reopened, one of the things that we lost was subsidies that would have been coming in from the parishes.
That's true.
And so we are sustained right now on two main sources of revenue, which would be tuition from our parents and then our advancement efforts. So it's donations from supporters. We have been able to sustain our operating budget and grow it. We have been in the black by six figures since we've started, which is tremendous. We have savings, but being able to, yes, support us financially is huge. And we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking for those investors who are willing to support Lebanon County by supporting a school in Lebanon County, even if it's not Catholic education per se that you're supporting, to support an entity that has 166-year history in Lebanon County. And something that is, you know, when we educate the community. So when we educate students in faith and character, those are going to be your business people. Those are going to be your people who lead your community. Those are going to be your volunteers. They're going to be your coaches. They're going to be your teachers in generations to come. And so when we can do that well, so investors in the county who believe in that as a mission, I would love to talk to them. We have to sustain our annual budget as well, our operating budget each year. And I think one of the other things that we're looking at is two things. One is there are tax credits that are available. Right now, Pennsylvania State has an EITC program, which is an educational tax credit program that people can make a donation and get literally 90% back as a tax credit, right? It is literally a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. It sounds too good to be true, but it's not. And then the federal tax credit that's going to be coming out in 2027, the ECCA, is going to be, that one's going to be 100% tax credit that you, Sully, I love that face that you just made. Listeners, I wish you could see that because that's how good this program is. But the tax credit programs are an easy way to do that, but on our annual fund. And then we would love for people to keep us in their will. Those community members who were alumni of Lebanon Catholic, to remember Our Lady of the Cross in your will, or, you know, as a bequest, or, you know, we'll take your life insurance. I'm not offing anybody. But to remember, you know, you can't take it with you. And so 100%,
you can't,
One of our big words is legacy, right? So legacy do you leave behind?
Leave
so,
an impact.
So yes. So prayer, financially, their support. And then, we take volunteers and those types of things. And one of the things, too, that's going to grow us is our enrollment. And so those families that are out there that are considering enrolling, I invite them out to, like, come out and see what it is. Come and see what a great experience this is for your kids. So the grandparents that are out there that would be willing to pay their tuition for their grandkids, you know, what a gift that is. Catholic education should be a gift. It should be an investment in a student's life. And so, we're looking for those community members who are willing to make that investment.
Now, speaking of, coming in to see the school, you have an open house coming up?
That's a great plug. I do. We have an open house coming up on November 16th from 1 to 3 p.m. at 1691 Grace Avenue at the school. We'll have students that can give tours to people, show them. And that's open to, we'd love to see prospective families. Absolutely. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, those community members who have not been up, those alumni who haven't been back to the school yet, we invite them to come in and come see it. If you've missed Lebanon Catholic. If you are bitter about that closing, if you're angry about that closing, let us help you heal that. Let us help you cross that divide. Come in and see it, because this is it's a new home here. So open house on November 16th from 1 to 3 p.m.
Perfect. Yeah. So it sounds like if you feel like there's something missing in your life, right, especially since Lebanon Catholic closed, or, you know, you just want to see what's going on at Our Lady of the Cross, this is the perfect time to come check it out.
It is. I like it.
Perfect. Yeah. Now, let me say this, because you mentioned the horse racing. Do you have any other events later this year or early 2026? Like, do you do a golf tournament, or what other events you have going on that people could maybe partake in?
Oh, I love that. November 9th, we're doing designer purse bingo.
Okay.
So if you like your, ooh, I don't know if I can say the names of the purses. If you like your coach end, and your Michael Kors and your Lululemon and all of those things, then we invite you out. We have purse bingo. This is a great event. That's a fun one. $25 to play. You have to be 18 to play. March 21st is our gala. So our gala is we call it our blue and white legacy gala. We had this at Lebanon Catholic, but really redesigned it. We're actually really excited that we are using a Lebanon County facility to host that this year. We're going out to the old Michter's Distillery in Newmanstown.
Oh, okay.
Really cool place out there. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I love that. But they're going to host our gala this year. That is March 21st. That's our biggest fundraiser. Consistently $100,000 that brings into our budget. Yeah, pretty awesome.
Very
but
helpful.
It's a great event. So that evening out that you want to get dressed up and go out, fun event. Silent auction and drinks and dinner. And
love a good silent auction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Night at the Races is January 24th.
There we go. Night at the Races.
Night at the Races is a good one.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's an adult night. There's not actually horse races. It's their video, but it's just fun.
If you haven't been, you should go, because it is different, but it's a lot of fun. Like,
it's a cool night out activity.
It is,
right?
Yeah.
And you get to
bring your friends,
bring your friends, like, bring some snacks.
Obviously,
for your
kids
table.
Stay home because it gets to be, I think, a little bit later for night, right? That starts at like 6, 7 or something.
Well, and there might be a couple adult beverages
as
well.
Yeah,
yes.
I guess there was some drinking going
on. Yeah, and it's small games of chance. So you have to be 18 to play.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't need to bring the kids. This is a night out for husband and wife, and bring your friends, because it was a lot of fun, especially with your friends. Like, we had a whole group. I think it was like 8 of us. And of course, Shuey wasn't there. But I don't know. He had something going on. So, but he's like, yeah, you should come on out, Sully. You know, bring your friends and stuff. So that was a lot of fun.
It is a cool night. Yeah.
Now, do you think you'll,
Go ahead.
I didn't want to cut you off. Okay. I was going to say, do you ever do golf tournaments, or is that something on the horizon, or not really into golf?
We have not done a golf. We would be willing to.
Yeah.
We've just not done one yet. So, Sully, my staff is small.
Yeah, well, right. You're already doing so much.
Yes.
Seriously, yeah.
So, we actually are looking to hire. I'm actually looking to hire an enrollment and communications coordinator. So anybody who wants to join the team, we're looking for somebody who would do that too, who would help us with enrollment and then communications and things. As far as event planning and those types of things, we have to make sure that the events that we're doing are, if they're consuming our time, that they are
worthy,
a good benefit to us.
Yeah, makes
actually
sense.
And we have a play tonight. Our kids put on their fall play for Halloween, and they're doing a dinner theater murder mystery.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tonight's I'm not sure if there are tickets available anymore tonight. We had dinner. So Mancino's helped make dinner.
Nice.
We love Mancino's. Yes. And we literally did. We filled the gym last night with we had dinner and a show. It was tremendous.
Doing amazing things.
It really is.
So when you think about the words resilience, legacy, growth, and hope, what do they mean to you personally?
That's like asking me how I feel about the air I breathe. They're literally part of us. I don't, resilience. We live in a world, that sometimes teaches us to be victim to the things that happen around us. And I think one of the things that we can do as educators is teach our kids to overcome the adversities that are in their life. And kids are naturally resilient. I think we as adults teach them sometimes not to be. And so I think resilience in that sense. Hope?
Oh, yeah. So... Yeah, let me write these down. Okay.
Like four words.
The words yeah, I did. I'm but sorry.
That's
just,
like one of those memory tests where you go, here, I'm going to give you four words and then remember them.
Let me try. Okay. Resilience. Legacy, growth, and hope. Okay. Even I almost messed them up.
Too many crickets. Okay. Let's go legacy. Okay.
Yes.
Legacy is we have a connection to our past, and we should have a goal and a vision for what our future is. And legacy, to me, connects those things. So it connects us to our base. It connects us to our foundation, whether that foundation is Jesus Christ and the church, or whether it's the alumni who literally built the school on Assumption Hill 85 years ago.
Yeah.
And what do we leave for the kids for the future? What traditions are we setting up for them to grow in? So legacy, I think that we are that bridge. I think we're making that connection between those two things. It was really important for us when we opened Our Lady of the Cross to connect back to Lebanon Catholic. So everything from our colors to our logo to even our mascot connects in a way to Lebanon Catholic. Now, some of them are subtle. Some of them are not so subtle. But even just Our Lady of the Cross to say, OLC, Our LC.
I see what you did there,
right?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
You know, the colors, the lion. In C.S. Lewis's Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the lion is the Christ figure, right? Aslan is the Christ figure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But if you read the story, the beaver family meet the children who've come through the wardrobe and they lead them to Aslan. They point them in the direction to Aslan.
Oh, my word.
Right? Did you just get chills?
Because I did. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
So, oh my gosh. Legacy is just, it's who we are. Growth. Here's the deal. We started with 33 kids. We had over 300 when Lebanon Catholic closed. We think that there is a need and a want for education here. And we have tried to grow in smart stages. We wouldn't have been able to open with 107 kids in the building that we had. We would not have been able to take 300 kids back in on September 13th, 2021 when we opened. But we opened with 33. And then that number grew. And as it grew, we were able to add staff and we were able to renovate the building or add to it to grow with it. So I think what we've tried to do is not explode, but grow in stages that are going to be sustainable. That's what we ask our kids to do in education, right?
Yeah.
You don't throw calculus at them as a second grader. You teach them the foundations and then you build on that. I think we've tried to, I think our growth has been a building experience. And hope. Hope is that idea of not just believing, but knowing that the good things that God wants for us are going to happen. Hope in adversity is that it is that belief that there's something bigger than ourselves that wants something good for us. And it's not just wishing for it. It is, hope is knowing that it is there. It is having a strong faith that it is there. And so if we can instill that in our kids, in the families, if we can give them that gift for the rest of their lives, that whatever it is that they face, that they know that God is there and that their actions have something to do with that and that they're part of something bigger, then we've done our job as Catholic educators. And I think hope is something that we live in a world where hope isn't something that everybody has, or if it's used, sometimes it's used inappropriately. Because we don't hope in ourselves. We hope in a God who loves us and a God who made us and created us in his image and likeness. And if we can start kids off with that and then have them, they have something to hope for. Because here's the deal. My goal is not to get them into Harvard. Our goal is to get them into heaven. It is to get them to moving forward. And that's a line in Catholic education, right? The Harvard heaven thing. But Seriously, that's what it is. This is not our forever home. It's not our forever home on Grace Avenue in terms of, you know, this isn't the end game. End game is something more. And so if we can give them hope, then I like those words: resilience, hope, legacy, growth. I like it.
Yeah. You gave me those.
I may have.
But no, Deb, I think that is a perfect spot to end this episode. It's great getting to meet you. You're always welcome back on. Maybe we can run a part two.
I love it.
In the future. And I'll close it out if you're good.
We're good.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Deb, thanks for sharing your journey and for reminding us, that when a community refuses to give up, legacy becomes the seed of renewal. Your story and the story of Our Lady of the Cross is living proof that resilience creates legacy. Legacy inspires growth, and growth gives birth to hope. To our listeners, if today's episode moved you, share it with a friend, a teacher, or anyone who believes in the power of community and second chances. And as always, subscribe and follow along to American Grown Podcast for more incredible stories from the heart of our community. And quick call to action, check the show notes for links to learn more about Our Lady of the Cross, their mission, enrollment, and the future facility plans. Visit ourladyofthecross.org. Deb, thanks for joining me.
Sully, thank you for having us. Thank you for helping us share and tell our story. Really appreciate it. It was great to meet you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors: A&M Pizza, authentic Italian food made with the finest quality ingredients, proudly serving the Lebanon and Lancaster area since 1980. Stop by their Campbelltown location today. You'll be happy you did. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today, or give them a call at 717-450-4063.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.